I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Live Mike. I am Lee Lonsberry. As I mentioned before the commercial break there, we will continue to monitor the press conference right now. And when the topic of conversation returns to the events of last night in Cottonwood Heights, we will bring you that as soon as, again, it returns to that topic. Right now, though, I want to remind you of a fascinating poll which was released just this morning. You can find the details of this poll at Deseret.com. Deseret News has it published there. The headline, McAdams-Owens Congressional Race All Tied Up. This new Deseret News Hinckley poll finds the numbers very quickly. The question asked of 800-some-odd registered voters in Utah's 4th Congressional District is, if the election for Congress were held today, for whom would you vote? 35% of respondents said that they would cast their vote for Burgess Owens, the Republican. And another 35% indicated that they would cast their vote for Democratic candidate and incumbent Ben McAdams. There were some single-digit responses for the Libertarian and United Utah candidates. And then the big number is 24%. 24% responded saying that they are not sure. And so if you are Burgess Owens and Ben McAdams right now, you must be asking yourself, okay, how do I convince that 24%? What do I have to share with them that will convince them that I am the most appropriate candidate? I intend to ask both those candidates, starting with Burgess Owens, who joins me on the line right now. Sir, how are you?
Lee, I'm doing great. Good talk with you again, my friend. Looking forward to this for sure.
Yeah, likewise. Tell me first and foremost, what's your message to that 24%?
You know, first of all, I'm excited by the fact that, for those who don't know, District 4 is between 1 and 3, a must-have on both sides of the aisle. The Democrats must have it to keep kind of what's going on right now, the chaos and the control they have in the House. The Republicans must have it to keep our culture and our country. So I'm excited with the fact that so much after your 200-year history we have here, that it is our district that's going to really be the linchpin of our nation. Which way our country goes will depend on the people here in District 4. And I have so much faith that we will stay focused on the values that made our country great, which is education, faith, industry, and a family unit. And that will resonate. I truly believe that, and I look forward to having that conversation and make sure that more people know who I am, what I stand for, and why we moved here 7 years ago, because of the values that are so prevalent here in the Valley.
Outstanding. And that's the case you make to those who are not sure right now.
Yep. I'm sorry. What was that now? What was the question?
I said that's the case that you make to those who are unsure. You right now enjoy 35, again, according to this poll, you enjoy 35% of support. A quarter of voters in the district are not sure. And I've made the assertion that those are the folks who need convincing. And so the excitement and the need to maintain the culture, that's what you present to that 24%?
It is, and the thing that I also recognize is that we I've never been a politician. I've never thought I would be. So for me to get a chance to have this opportunity to share as a patriot, someone who loves our country, who loves this culture that we've developed here in the Valley, and to make sure that this is what is represented in D.C., I think that's what's going to resonate. I feel excited about it. It's for the culture, by the way, the values I grew up with in Tallahassee, Florida, back in the long ago, deep south, that I'm now fighting for, and all my 6 kids are here, too. So it's something I feel good about. I think the more people have a chance to hear from me and get my questions answered, how are we going to make sure these things happen, is we keep it with the policies, the more they will resonate to our side of the aisle and the optimism we have for our great future.
This district is no stranger to close races. Why do you think that it continues to be so in this race as well?
Well, because we have people that truly they want to have a country that moves forward without too much contention. And so my message basically is one of the going to allow all of us to understand that we can all disagree. We can agree to disagree in so many different ways, but as long as we have the same end game, and that end game is make sure our kids have a safe place to grow, a place where they can come and live and stay and afford to do that, have a very clean environment. Those things that give us an opportunity to focus on our kids is really what will make this this campaign and one that's going to help people resonate to what I'm doing. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. And at the end of the day, because we have such a diverse district, it kind of highlights what our country's about. And at this point, Lee, what our country, what our fellow Americans want more than anything else is for us to come back together. We're all about harmony. We're all about a vision together as we the people move forward. And I think that message, the message I have, will allow us, no matter what party or what part of the Republican Party that we're a part of, that we can come together because we have the same end game. And that's something that we can see the other side, the other side. When I talk about the Democratic Party that's coming out of D.C. and the message we have coming out of there, that is not reflective of Utah. And I think my message will resonate when I get a chance to speak to the residents here in District 4.
All right. Burgess Owens, Republican nominee for the office of 4th District Congressman here representing a portion of the state of Utah. Right now engaged in a neck-and-neck race. 35% of respondents supporting Burgess Owens, the Republican. 35% of respondents supporting Ben McAdams. There is a big pool of not sures out there still. And so it's up to these two candidates to convince them. Yeah, Burgess Owens, I am grateful to you for your time. Best of luck to you, all right?
Thank you, Lee. Thanks for the opportunity. All the best. Bye-bye.
All righty. In just a moment, we're going to take a break. And when we return, we're going to have this very same conversation with the candidate on the other side of the aisle. Incumbent Ben McAdams will be joining me. I'll ask him the same question. What do you say to this pool? Almost a quarter of Utah voters in the 4th District are unsure for whom to cast their vote. Should it be for you, Mr. McAdams, or for your challenger, Burgess Owens? And if it's for you, how do you convince him of that fact? We, as I mentioned as well, also will continue to follow the press conference, which is taking place in Cottonwood Heights right now. Still speaking is attorney Robert Sykes. When others take to the microphone, we will closely monitor that. Quick break. Back with Congressman McAdams ahead on Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry, and this is KSL News Radio. Welcome back to Live Mike. I am Lee Lonsberry. We are continuing to monitor the press conference, which is taking place in Cottonwood Heights right now. And participating in that press conference are the parents of Zane James. His father was a participant in the protests of last night and was arrested in Cottonwood Heights. And they, along with their attorney, are addressing the media right now. And we'll bring you updates on that as the program continues. Right now, though, I am honored to be joined by Utah Congressman Ben McAdams, currently representing Utah's 4th Congressional District and involved in a pretty tight race right now. A new poll just released by the Deseret News and the Hinckley Institute of Politics shows him in a neck-and-neck tie with his Republican challenger, Burgess Owens. Congressman, sir, how are you?
I'm great, Lee. Thanks for having us on.
May I ask you a question first? It's totally off-topic, has nothing to do with this poll or the election, but it stems from an article I read last week in USA Today. It coined a new term called long haulers, and that is a way to describe those individuals who have at once contracted the coronavirus, since recovered, but then weeks and in some cases months down the road, still have some lingering symptoms. I've been kind of conducting an informal poll of all those I have known to contract the coronavirus early on. You famously, sir, had a bout with COVID-19. How are you today?
I'm actually doing pretty well. My doctor had me in and did a series of x-rays, and they saw that all the gunk that was in my lungs when I was in the hospital has cleared up and looking good. So I still have a little bit of a lingering cough, and I feel it in my lungs a little bit, but not bad. They tell me it's nothing to worry about. It should clear up with time. So I'm a fortunate one who, even though I had a bad case, it looks like I'll fully recover and have no lasting impact.
Outstanding. Very good. Still able to donate plasma for antibody testing?
You know, that's the one thing. I had such a bad case that my antibodies are excellent. So I'm giving plasma as often as I can, which is once a month. They say I can only give once a month, but I go in monthly, and I've given now three times, and they say that it seems to be really helping people. So I'm happy to be doing my part in any way to help people get better.
Outstanding. All right, let's get back to the topic at hand. 35%, 35%. Each, you and your challenger, Burgess Owens, have secured that, at least in terms of the results of this 800-person poll conducted by the Deseret News and Hinckley Institute of Politics. There is a pretty large pool of individuals who are not sure. Really, for either you or Mr. Owens to pull this off, you need to draw from that pool. How do you make the case to them, sir?
Yeah, I mean, that's to be expected. A lot of people want to take time to look at both candidates and understand the race. And, you know, it's my job to explain to them what I've done and talk about my track record. And so what we're going to be talking about is reminding them that I have always been a bridge builder. Everything I do is about bringing people together and solving problems. And we have a lot of challenges as a country. I think Washington is so deeply broken that we really need bridge builders in Washington who can bring people together to fix things like a broken healthcare system, protecting Social Security and Medicare. You know, every bill that I've introduced in Congress has a Republican co-sponsor. I've built relationships with the other side, and I'm using those relationships to get things done for Utah. But I'm also not afraid to go it alone. If I think that the Congress is heading in the wrong direction, and sometimes you see that, Republicans and Democrats standing up, and I think heading in the wrong direction, I'm not shy about going it on my own and saying no and being a lone voice against things that I think are bad for Utah. So I'm someone who can work across the aisle, get things done to address the challenges that we are facing here in Utah and we're facing as Americans, and I can do that. But I'm not afraid to go it alone if that's what the right direction is.
Have your own internal polls or anecdotal findings, do they agree with this close race? Do you have any reason to dispute any of these results?
I'm not going to get into a lot of details about our internal polling, but we know it's going to be a close race, and we know that there are a lot of voters who just want more information, and so that's, you know, I often say that a close race is good for everybody except the candidates. It's really stressful for a candidate. But it is good for democracy to make our elected officials work for it, to go out and talk to their constituents and help them to, you know, make the case why they should vote for Ben McAdams and talk about my record as someone who stands independently and works across the aisle to get things done. And so, you know, that's what we're going to do, is continue to work across the aisle and make that case to those undecided voters.
You mentioned that a close race is good for everyone but the candidates. This is not your first time being involved in a very, very close race. Personally, how do you deal with it?
Oh, you know, I've got such a great family. That's really at the heart of it. My wife is very supportive, and our kids are very supportive. And then, you know, we love to get out and hike. So when things get really stressful, we just take an evening or a morning and go out and hike and spend time together as a family and get our head back in the game. And remember that this is about, you know, it's not personal. This is about policies and direction for the country. And I think, you know, I love public service and I love our state of Utah and I want to continue serving. And, you know, it's just about making sure that the voters understand what I'm doing and who I am and what I stand for.
You talk about being one who is very well apt at reaching across the aisle, that much of your efforts have been done with the coordination and cooperation and support of Republicans, and yet you, sir, still are a Democrat. Very basically and fundamentally, what makes you a Democrat?
You know, I think I'm probably a Democrat for two reasons. My mother was a school teacher, and so she always valued education, and she felt that, you know, I think neither party has a monopoly on good ideas, but she really felt that the Democrats in the Utah State Legislature were good for education, and so that's probably where it started for me. And then I think another formative period for me was when I was a missionary in Brazil, and I just saw how much opportunity to education mattered to people. And so when I came home from my mission, I was able to get a college education because of things like Pell Grants and Stafford loans that helped make a college education affordable for someone like me who wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, who didn't come from a family that really had much money. And so I think it's important that that we make sure that everybody has access to opportunities to lift themselves up. But, you know, I'm moderate, so it means that I think there are Republicans who I have a lot of crossover and agreement with. Some of the people that I've had the pleasure of working with, like our Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox, are people who I see a lot. We see a lot eye to eye on a lot of things, and there are Democrats with whom I don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. So two-party system is really imperfect, but it's what we've got right now. And so, I'm going to work on those issues and with those people who can move our country forward. And if it sometimes puts me standing alone, I'm happy and proud to do that as well.
All right, Congressman Ben McAdams, thank you for your time. Thank you for your insight here, and best of luck to you as you move forward right now in a neck-and-neck tie with your challenger, Burgess Owens. Congressman McAdams, thanks again.
Thanks, Lee.
All righty. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we return, we're going to revisit a question we asked a long time ago, and it's because it is back. We know more about the vaccine for the COVID-19 disease. We know more about the timeline. We have a better understanding of what is in store for us. And so, when it comes to a vaccine, who should get it first? You and I will chat on that next on Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry, and this is KSL News Radio.